Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
There was a boy whose name was Jim, whose friends were very good to him. They fed him tea and cakes and jam and slices of delicious ham and read him stories through and through and even took him to the zoo. And there it was, the dreadful fate befell him, which I now relate. You know, at least you ought to know, that you are listening to The Gargle, the Sonic Glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Tom Neenan and James Colley. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you.
I really need to get better at introducing the editors separately so that they each have time to say something rather than just as though you were interchangeable white men.
Well, I felt bad that we didn't synchronize on that because when you went hello and I went thank you, you're like, I should have tried to do a hello one-fifth up.
Harmonizing editors, that'd be beautiful.
This is what happens when you have too many men in a room, they start barbershopping. Before we slap our sweaty hands on each other's buxom hips and plunge into the conga line that is this week's magazine, let's first have a look at the front cover. The front cover this week is a time-style noble face shot of the Gargle's new owner, non-reclusive billionaire Elon Musk. Yes, didn't make the news, but we were a side deal off the main purchase of Twitter. The headlines read, "Long live the king, the king will protect our freedom of speech. The king wants us to criticise him, and I for one believe the king. You can always trust the king to have your best interests at heart." Have you been following this new world that we're about to tweet into?
Mm-hmm. I think it's exciting. Like, I quite like Elon Musk's products, and I'm glad to finally have one that when I send it off and it's a bit misguided, it doesn't kill someone and catch on fire.
My best friend Joseph is a massive fan of Elon Musk, so I've been having to hear him sing his praises all week. And he's sort of talking about how he's taking it to the Saudi billionaires who own pieces of Twitter. And I feel like, as against the Saudi billionaires, I back Elon Musk. But as against me, can I be on my side?
The sympathy I do have for the situation is this is billionaire shit and this is what I want them to be doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be less morally opposed to billionaires existing in general if more of them were like, I like this app. It's mine now. I feel like that's how being a billionaire should work. Oh, there's no parking here? I now own this town and all the cars in it, so I can just abandon this car on the street. That's how being a billionaire should go.
Yeah, true, true. I feel like if you're not buying Twitter, you should be buying the ocean or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to have full-on evil geniuses. Next step, the moon. And it's going to be a laser, but it'll be like a laser hair removal on the moon. Never mind.
I love for the people on Twitter are sort of saying, well, what will become of us? You sort of think, well, you can, you know, sometimes not use Twitter. And then people on Twitter get very angry with you because they're on Twitter. So, yeah, I'd encourage people to know that just think about what life was like back in, what, 2007 before Twitter and how everything was probably better then. And we could all be living in the 2007 utopia again if we just logged off.
It is a good point because everyone's always like, oh, well, he's going to ruin the website. And you're like, at which point was this functioning? At what point were we having a good time on here?
It's all been downhill since we had
140
characters. Oh, man, I got that wrong the first time. I'm glad they let us have an edit button now. Thanks, Elon Musk.
And I can say a slur.
Yay!
Japanese inventors, and just to interrupt myself before I get too into the story, is there any pair of words more ripe with promise than the phrase Japanese inventors? Japanese inventors have decided that in order to cut salt from the diet, they needed to invent salt-enhancing chopsticks, one of which links into a wristband and brings out the salt ions in the food that you're eating with the chopsticks, so that food tastes more salty than it is, so you can add less salt to the food, so you're more likely to not have a heart attack. This is a magic wand. In terms of, like, other magic, I would say I would like this to have other options, that you could make food taste saltier or sweeter, so I can just serve bland pap at my dinner parties and then conduct a psychedelic flavour experience. Tom Neenan, you look like you've used a pair of psychedelic chopsticks before. Can you unpack this story a bit more?
I love them. Food tastes like memories if you use psychedelic chopsticks. It's so exciting. I actually have a fork that makes things taste more salty because I just haven't cleaned it. But it's quite an interesting thing. So it's the chopsticks which make food taste... I believe it's 1.5 times saltier by activating the sodium particles, which does pose the question, what if you use the chopsticks to eat salt? Would the chopsticks make the salt taste 1.5 times saltier than salt? In which case, what salty mess are you putting into your mouth? Because that's going to be, you're getting 250% or 150% more salt from your salt. Someone has to try this, please. I need to know how this works.
I think it breaks the law of entropy. I think that could be the death of the universe.
It's a bit like putting Google into Google. Do not eat salt with these chopsticks. It's terrifying. Basically, there's, from what I understand, there is a sort of a pack on your wrist that you have, and it makes the chopsticks vibrate, and that's what happens. Because obviously, having too much sodium can lead to heart attacks. But these chopsticks, by vibrating, just make it feel like you're constantly having a heart attack. Which is, I guess, preferable. They're also developing other ideas sort of with the same technology. Like, one, I believe they're working on a lickable television, which is an answer to a question no one asked. I mean, my favourite TV show is Breaking Bad, so I can't wait to finally find out what meth tastes like, which is very exciting. Yeah, it's good for them, I guess, for trying to protect people. Alternatively, just develop a taste for less salt, which I think is cheaper, really.
Yeah, that's one of the big problems I have with this. Firstly, very excited to taste Jeremy Clarkson. I think it'll taste like an old prune left out in the sun. I just don't think I've ever met someone who has a lot of salt in their diet and puts the salt on after tasting the meal. It's always salt first, and then I'll taste and see if I need more and more salt on that point. There's no base element of zero salt. And I think that, like, this would be more effective if you're marketing this as a diet measure. It would be more effective if it worked like the board game Operation and just electrocuted me whenever I tried to pick up anything. So it's like Pavlovian dieting. A lot of salivation, not a lot of consummation, which I assume means eating things, consuming them, and not having sex with the food, but I'm happy for either result.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting thing. There was one of those terrible fad diets in the 90s for supermodels who wanted to not eat anything, which was called the chopstick diet, back before people knew how to use chopsticks effectively. It was good for Westerners, and they, you know, that to try and eat non-chopsticky food with chopsticks, like soup and steak, I assume. But that was a real thing.
I was wondering about soup with this, because often, like, soup is something that often needs a touch of salt in it, but this is the one device that is severely not helpful for that situation. But could I just rest the chopsticks in there and then eat it with a spoon, and I'm constantly getting a little bit of a salt blast, or at the least, mild electrocution?
I mean, so long as there isn't rice at the bottom of the bowl, because if you have chopsticks upright in rice, it's considered bad manners.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's like incense at a funeral.
Is it because it looks like two fingers up or something?
No, it's like incense at a funeral. But yes, sure. It's also like a big two fingers up at you, depending on which culture you belong to.
This is terrible because I've been resting my chopsticks while I flip people off.
At a funeral. That's all the time we have for our tech chopstick news, because now it's time for your ads. Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by cryptocurrency. You're not getting scammed, you're investing in the opportunity to scam someone else. That's Rugpull Technology bringing you the gargle today. Did you know I've just been asked to give a talk on NFTs at Copenhagen University?
Wow. Are you going to not give them the talk? Are you just going to give them a receipt of your... give them the invoice for your talk?
I'll give them the right to claim that they've seen the talk.
Yeah.
even though they definitely have not seen the talk.
Mm.
And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by me, Alice Fraser. Yes, I've bought ad space on this podcast, as you can too. I'm using my ad space to tell you that you can buy ad space, and also to make an announcement. As you know, I'm good friends with a number of famous writers, including self-published romance maven and online bestseller Dancy Lagarde, and it's in my role as patron of the literary arts that I would like to announce the first real, legitimate Buellverse writing competition, jointly funded by me and Dancy. Previous winners include Hunter S. Thompson and Neil Gaiman. The prize money will be £12,000 plus and will be provided by me, Alice Fraser, in the form of £200 of real money, £10,000 of a patented new cryptocurrency backed by pork-barreling Lagarde sales, and the plus is constituted of half a glass of water. The details are on my Patreon, but not behind a paywall, so you don't have to subscribe to see them. I'm not a monster. I'm just too lazy to build a website for it, and I'm literally springing this on Ped and Chris right now. Submissions are due in a month, and they should constitute any chapter of one of the existing Dancy Lagarde books whose synopses are available in this dimension, but whose full text is not. Email us at hellobuglers@thebuglepodcast.com if you would like me to read one of your ads on this thing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now it's time for rescue news. And a woman has been rescued after falling into the toilet trying to rescue her phone. This is a chain of rescuing that brings only shame to all the families involved. James Colley, you've leapt into an open toilet before. Can you unpack this story?
Well, I did it by choice.
I'm talking about Twitter, of course.
First off, it's worth saying we're all glad that you're okay, Alice, and thank you for still joining us today. This is a Looney Tunes situation. Okay, so a woman dropped her cell phone into the hole of an outhouse on top of a mountain, breaks apart the toilet. She then uses dog leashes to try and get out, which... this did not get a mention in the story, but I feel is important. Not only did it not work, it also presumably meant there were a few dogs running around just to add to the chaos. And then, unable to get to use this as a kind of fly fishing line to retrieve her phone, she then ties the leashes to herself and tries to descend Mission Impossible style down into the outhouse. The police chief quotes here is, "It didn't work very well as she fell in," which is about as bad as that could go. And you have to wonder how many, and I'm going to say milliseconds, did you have where you thought that would work before you realized it absolutely wouldn't.
Also, the police chief understatement, "This didn't work very well," when he meant it didn't work at all. It caused a great deal of public expense and bother. Didn't work even a little bit.
Very much designed to leash dogs and not hoist a fully grown person into an outhouse. And then she's trapped in this hell, and it appears she's trapped in there for, quote, 10 to 15 minutes before calling police. And you know, that is one of the more humble moments in anyone's life. 10 to 15 minutes you stand there being like, you know what, I am going to try and get out one more time. Well, I've made it worse. Well, now I definitely can't admit I've done this. I'm going to try and get out one more time. Well, it's much, much worse now, but I definitely can't call now.
Well, I mean, could she call on her phone or did someone else call on her behalf? Because...
well, someone knocked on the door and she said, "I'm in here," and they went, "Oh, sorry," and left.
Tom Neenan, have you ever been trapped in a mess of your own making?
Oh, constantly. This is why I really feel for this woman. But the one thing I cannot get on board with is the fact that she would want the phone back. If I drop my phone anywhere near a toilet, I am not just getting a new phone. Just to be sure, I'm changing my number as well. That is a dirty number now. I want nothing to do with it. I mean, yeah, what an amazing thing. Like you say, she used dog leashes to you know, it does sadly rob us of the opportunity of someone going, oh, this woman's gone missing. Do we have any leads? And then someone else going, no, we don't have those either, which is a real shame. But yeah, like you're saying, what an absolutely humbling moment for somebody to. I think the bit of the story that I don't understand, which was alluded to, was the fact that she disassembled the toilet seat in order to get down there. I want to know what was involved in that process. I mean, did she just unscrew it, or were there saws involved, or did she disassemble the toilet seat in the way that, like, some of my friends might sort of boastfully say when they've just left the loo after a particularly awful bowel movement and go, I absolutely disassembled that toilet seat. I hope she's okay. But, you know, it's not often that you get to, you know, revisit your food a day later and then 10 minutes later as well. But yeah, that poor woman, I hope she... Do we know if she's okay? Like, we know that she's out at least, but we don't know how well she's doing.
It did say, like, part of the story was... they strongly suggested that she wash herself immediately afterwards, but she chose to leave the area, which I can relate to that choice being made. Like, absolutely, I will. Absolutely will. But right now, I need to get away from any human eyes that have seen this situation, and I need to never see any of you ever again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, because what's she got? She's got paper. She's got loo paper in order to clean herself up, and that's it. And that isn't enough. That isn't enough to make yourself feel sanitary, I think.
And it's awful. It must be awful, right? You call, it's America, you call 911, you're in this terrible situation, and they're like, oh, were you calling me from the toilet? Dude, that's not okay.
That's so impolite. I think I just don't know how American outhouses work, because when I first saw this and I heard that a woman had sort of fallen into the toilet looking for a phone, I was imagining a borrower, like Stuart Little. I wasn't imagining a fully grown woman, because just the idea that certainly in the UK, falling in your toilet, you'd need to be at least like 2 foot tall or something.
Oh, and American toilets have so much water. It's more of a drowning hazard than being stuck in there.
So that's all the time we have for our toilet rescue news, because now it's time for our reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. This week we begin with Tom Neenan. What have you brought in for us?
Certainly. Today I've brought in to review my memory that this podcast has a review section. So bear with me if you will, because it starts well. It starts with a solid 5 stars when I receive an email that reminds me that I should be putting together a review section. I'm excited. I'm thinking, what could I do? Maybe I'll review Twitter for Elon Musk, try and drive down the stock value or something. And I'm like, oh, my brain is alight with possibilities. 5 stars all around. I'm so excited. Cut to yesterday night, when I'd say my memory that this podcast has a review section dips to, I mean, below 1 star. If I can give half a star to my memory on this section, then that's what it's going for. So what I don't do is sort of give it any thought at all. This continues. This half a star's worth of memory, I think, continues to roughly about... I'd say about maybe a minute ago, when Alice Fraser, the brilliant Alice Fraser, says, now it's time for our reviews section. And then my memory that this podcast has a reviews section, one of my favourite sections, I'll be honest, a really fun thing to do, rockets way back up to 5 stars. but sadly, at that stage, my ability to do anything about it, to affect the future in any way, is sort of diminished. So then sort of while my memory of the review section is at 5 stars, I'd say my actual review section is going to be compromised to about 2.5 stars. But hopefully that's enough for now. And so, yeah, I'd give my memory that this podcast has a review section somewhere in the middle. I'm going to give it 3.5 stars overall. And I hope I've covered.
You've done remarkably well.
Thank you.
James Colley, what have you brought in for us?
I had a couple of things to review here. The first was, I picked up this book on the weekend, which is Der Altermann und das Meer, which is Ernest Hemingway in his original German, which is just beautiful to read. Hermingstrasse, sorry, in his original German, which is beautiful. But I want to actually review plants. I've gotten very into buying plants, growing my own vegetables, tending to them. And if you're interested in it, you can go out and get all the supplies, that takes about a weekend, maybe a year of work to get it really going. But then for just $700-$800, you can be saving up to $1.50 a week. And if you have been looking for the opportunity to kill something with your bare hands, can I interest you in plants? Because no matter how hard you try, you are going to do it and you'll have no one else to blame. So that's plants. 4 stars.
Now it's time for your floriculture news. This is the news that there's been an absolute massacre of daffodils by Cornwall Council in this kind of like new nanny state, I guess, this new nanny state vibe have destroyed Wordsworth's favourite flower. James Colley, you're the gardener here. Can you unpack this story?
Yeah, so this is 1,000 daffodils were cut, which you're right, does sound like something out of just a tedious poem, but 1,000 daffodils were cut to ensure children would not eat them because, as the Count said, they're poisonous. If eaten, they could give you diarrhea, which I feel like on that basis, they should dig up all the dirt in the park as well and concrete over it, because dirt, if ingested in large amounts, would also not be good for kids. And it then creates an interesting precedent by which we can assume everything left inside that playground is now entirely edible. So go nuts, kids. Lick anything you want. It's all fine. The opposition to this move called it ludicrous. They said, are they going to put up signs next that say don't eat the daffodils? Although I have to say, as an opposition, that's ludicrous because they've already cut them down. They're just leaving a pile of daffodils handily cut into bite size. I don't think the sign is necessary anymore. And I'm not sure if daffodil eating and reading is necessarily the same age group that you're aiming for.
Well, also, if there's a sign that says don't eat the daffodils and no daffodils, someone's going to show up and be like, oh, someone got here first. Someone's already
Damn,
done
it. Daffodils must be delicious.
I mean, that's why they paved paradise and put up a parking lot, because the fruit of knowledge was in paradise and they decided that that was not edible. That's a Bible joke. I've read a Bible. Not the Bible, just a Bible.
You've read one Bible.
Are they all the same? I don't know.
They all vary. I think God put in different like little alterations here and there to keep people on their toes is what I've heard.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's thou shalt not eat the daffodils. Sometimes it's thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's daffodils.
This is the thing. I mean, was there a rash of children getting rashes from eating flowers in the park? Or I don't.
In their defence, daffodils look absolutely delicious. They are they're part of Easter. Like they're a big Easter thing, and everything else to do with Easter is brilliant to eat. Hot cross buns, chocolate eggs, rabbits. You know, all really tasty. So I would say that, good for them. One thing I was wondering what would drive people to eat daffodils, but then I noticed that the town council which has done this is called St. Blaise. Now, listeners, I'm doing the toking on a marijuana cigarette movement here to suggest that 420 baby, everyone had the munchies in St. Blaise's town council, and that the thing they went to was the daffodils to get their fix. That's what I think happened.
I'm doing the calling the police on a cell phone gesture to report this mimed drug use that I do not approve of.
Oh God, I'm miming being arrested.
I mean, this is a very heavily mime podcast, and I love it. Can we get nominated for an award now? Yes, please. Thank you. That's all the time we have for the daffodils, because now it's time for our old comedy section. There's been an online debate about whether Steve Martin's song King Tut, in which he sings King Tut and is dressed up as a sort of a cartoon Egyptian, whether that has stood the test of time, or whether it's about cultural appropriation, or whether it is cultural appropriation, whether it's a silly sketch that is still funny or it's a silly sketch that is not still funny. There's a lot of people willing to draw metaphorical swords at one another over this. Tom Neenan, what is the first thing you remember finding funny, and does it stand up, and should it stand up?
Okay. Basically, I thought of a fun one because I tried to remember the last time, like a time in primary school that me and my friends absolutely couldn't stop laughing because they're the most fun times. And what I remembered, and this is to do with, I guess, a bit of pop cultural appropriation, a bit about a song, a bit about other things, is are any of you familiar with the song Ico Ico, but made most famous by the Dixie Cups? So yes. it's a song which has sort of lots of political meaning and is incredibly important to a lot of people. When me and my friends heard it, I don't know if you know, the first few lyrics are, my grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm going to set your flag on fire. It's sort of very heavy with meaning, this song. What me and my friends did is just thought it'd be really funny to sing just my grandma and your grandma, 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 grandma. My grandma and your grandma, 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 and then just repeat the word grandma over and over again. When we were seven or eight, it was the funniest thing. I think we spent like two lunchtimes just crying, laughing, going, my grandma and your grandma, 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 grandma. And I don't know if that is now either cultural appropriation or inappropriate, but even the memory of it now, I'm like, that was a good 2 days I think we spent on that song.
Also, I'm now going to coin the phrase cultural inappropriation.
Yeah. So I feel bad for Steve Martin because, yeah, if I had had my own television show as a seven-year-old, which I think, here's an idea, just give a random seven-year-old a TV show. I'd love to watch that.
I think Netflix is trying that. Anyway, get their numbers back up.
Yeah, then I would have definitely thought that that was like a crown jewel of our comedy, and I still kind of do. So I think, I feel for Steve Martin in this sense.
James Colley, what's the first thing you remember finding funny, and does it still stand up?
Peekaboo was the first thing I found particularly funny, and I'm sorry to say it has not held up. Object permanence really takes a lot of the heat out of Peekaboo. Now, being the Peekabooer is better than ever, I've got to say, but it doesn't really hold up. No, mine is an old cartoon show I used to love called Earthworm Jim, about a funny superhero worm and his dog Sidekick. And I would say, like, it has, looking back, aged in a very modern way, because I went back and I watched some of the show, and if anything, I find it funnier than ever now that I'm older and can understand more of what's going on. And I've also discovered that the creator is a massive transphobe. So that's the way nostalgia works now. The material itself may well hold up and you'll find new things to love, but sorry, the creators are all transphobes. That's what happened in the 90s. You got successful and you hated trans people for no particular reason.
Well, I think it was something to do with the suits. I feel like the suits were a big thing in the 90s and early 2000s. The bigger the suit, the bigger the man. If you didn't look like a toddler playing dress-ups, you were not an important person.
Because Earthworm Jim is famously a worm that had a super suit fall on him. And I thought, like, did that give him the power of transphobia? Is that what happens? The suit falls, he goes from being a worm to being overly concerned about women's sport and who's coming 16th in local swim meets.
I think it's at times like this we should really praise the king that is Tony Hawk for being a 90s celebrity who has remained unproblematic. What an achievement that man has made.
My policy is just never find out anything. Which is difficult as a news satire podcaster, but I try really hard.
Oh, as soon as someone you adore has a political view section on their Wikipedia, close the page. Close it, move on.
Very wise.
I mean, given that the first show that I was allowed to watch on television was The Adventures of Lois and Clark with Dean Cain, and then after that I watched Hercules with Kevin Sorbo. And then after that, I was allowed to watch Xena. We were allowed to watch one show a week, and I think we just did the ones that were advertised in the same slot. Xena Warrior Princess. Lucy Lawless, you're my final shining hope. Please just stay Lucy Lawless. That's all I ask, please.
I watched a lot of, so like similarly, mine was a lot of like TV and stuff, and I bonded with my dad over MASH. MASH was my favorite show, still MASH holds up. But it did remind me, Tom, of my favorite game, which is always singing the name of a show to its theme song. Like Mad Men, Mad Men, Mad Men, Mad Men. Like it's a great example. But MASH, there are a few things more fun than MASH, 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 MASH.
It is time for Game of Thrones. It's very fun. You're right. That is... That should be a whole section on iTunes playlists and stuff. Should be those.
I mean, even better than that is the one that like infuriates the listener, like Star Trek, da da da, Star Trek, da da da, Star Trek, da 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 da. And that's all the time we have for our old comedy section. Write in to us at Hello Garglers on Twitter if you have some old comedy and tell us whether it holds up now and whether it should hold up now. And now it's time for our final section of this week's episode of the podcast. It is our noise news section. And this is the news that somebody who lives near an airport doesn't like living near an airport. James Foley, can you unpack this nuisance news now?
I love this story because, as you know, Alice, Sydney is the world's capital for someone moving next to a busy place and then try to get it shut down because it's making noise. So one person has made over 12,000 noise complaints to Dublin Airport over the course of a year based on the noise of flights. And now, the year before, they put in over 6,000. And it doesn't correlate with flights resuming, as traffic has only increased by 10%. It's the ultimate version of moving somewhere and complaining about the noise. And I think this is one of the funniest bits you can do. I actually live near Sydney Airport, and I think I might just get on the phone every time a plane goes over, and he's like, I don't know what the hell you're doing over there, but it is quite loud. I'm hoping this person doesn't know what an airport is, what a plane is, or how it functions, that they just think there's a big share house next door, they have weird kind of Kraftwerkian vibes to their music collection, and they play it all very loudly, and they're very, very rude about it.
Tom, how many noise complaints have you called in on Dublin Airport?
Fortunately, it's a fair way away. But, you know, I've got it on speed dial, which is, I'm assuming, what this person must do, right? They must just have it on speed dial and make it their full-time job to make noise complaints. Oh, to be that retired. Wouldn't it be amazing if all of the noise complaints were about sex noises, though, and nothing to do with airplanes at all? Just like there's some orgies going on at Dublin Airport, and that's what they want to complain about. I'm always wary about telling people just to move, but this is. There are plane spotters. There's that guy, I don't know if you know, there's that guy who loves trains, who does like a YouTube video. You know, and surely there must be the equivalent for planes who'd actually really appreciate living by Dublin Airport. So maybe like do a swap or something. Imagine if there's someone who loves like Irish planes, who is living in this like tranquil, beautiful part of like, I don't know, Sweden or something. And he's just desperate to see the, you know, various planes going overhead. They should just swap and make each other's lives happier.
They should do a sliding scale of flight prices. The closer you live to an airport, the cheaper your flight is, just to make up for the noise complaint. Also, given that it's Dublin Airport, that's probably not the noise of the planes taking off. It's probably people looking at the sticker shock on the additional pricing on Ryanair flights and going, come on. What, you're gonna make me pay to wear shoes on the flight now?
Imagine Dublin Airport, you know, the flights were quite quiet. It's just they had the loudest metal detector you've ever heard. And that was what was annoying me.
I do think there is a hero in this story, which is the person who is stuck 12,000 times over the course of a year, picking up a phone and being like, yeah, no, is it a plane again? Oh, no. Yeah, well, I reckon it will be quiet. Well, I'll have a word with the pilot and we'll get back to you. Yeah, I'll talk to you again in 15 minutes from gate 16, 17 minutes from gate 19.
And that's all the time we have for this episode of The Gargle. I'm flipping through the ad section at the back. James Colley, have you got anything to plug?
Yeah, I do a podcast called Vanity Project with comedian Bridie Connell, where we go through albums done by people who shouldn't necessarily be making an album. The most recent episode is Muhammad Ali's comedy record, which I didn't know existed and is so much better than it has any right to be.
Oh, wow.
Vanity Project is the podcast. James Colley and Bridie Connell are very funny people. Go listen to that. Tom Neenan, have you got anything to plug?
As usual, I have so many pending projects that are that are not here, but I would like to plug the Hauntening, which is available to buy, which is my Radio 4 series. Now in its fourth series coming out in October, but you can buy the previous three via Penguin Audiobooks, I think, and various other Audible books vendors. Probably can get that via my website or from the Positive Productions website as well. So check that out. Also check out my Elon Musk-owned Twitter, at T. Neenan as well, which will just be, I think, turning into an account which is just tweeting that image of Elon Musk and Ghislaine Maxwell at a party over and over again from here on out.
I'd like to say thank you to our roving reporters this week. Mammal of Mystery, who sent in the electric salty chopstick story. Nick Denny, who sent in the toilet rescue story. VB, who sent in the daffodil story. And Miss Otis, who sent in the Dublin Airport noise complaint story. If you would like to send in a story, if you'd like to be a roving reporter on The Gargle, tweet us at HelloGarglers on our benevolent overlord's new vanity project. I'm Alice Fraser. I'm your host. Find me online at Alliterative on Twitter and Instagram. That's Alliterative. Or patreon.com/AliceFraser. That's a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up special podcasts and blogs. I'm also on tour going to Sydney, Perth, London, Edinburgh, and then back here, I assume, at some point. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, The Last Post, Tiny Revolutions, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
My grandma and your grandma, 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 grandma. My grandma and your grandma, 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 grandma.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.